You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
We're going to jump straight into our interview today. As I promised, we're going to be hearing from 800 Tech. And we have Mr. Junior on the inside. Let me make sure I can hear him loud and clear on my end. Good afternoon, Junior. Could you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Nice. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Nice.
After all of that excitement.
Well, that's it. I was about to ask you, how was your carnival season?
Yeah, I was in the mix of all the excitement, man.
I know. Was it your first time to be around Trinidad for the carnival, or this is more than once or twice?
Well, this would be my first carnival, you know, because usually I come here during like April, May, so later in the year. I've never really been here at the start of the year before.
Right, so you see the back and the madness this time around.
Yeah, a lot of excitement and fun and everything.
Nice. Well, we're going to jump straight into our conversation today, and our topic is your inbox is a crime scene. Why email visibility is the first line of cyber defense. So talk to us. Talk to us a little bit about that.
All right, so why an email would be considered a crime scene or first line of defense. We know that phishing and business email compromise is like the bread and butter for cyber criminals, right?
Right.
So seeing that those are the two main vectors that these guys would use to compromise organization, whether it be a ransomware, whether it be a data breach, whether it be denial of service, the route that is majority taken by these guys are through email. So you find out that ransomware may start off just as a phishing email, right? Get a phishing email, you click on something and boom, everything is up in the air. So bringing back to the context of a crime scene, let's say your organization gets compromised, right? If you reach out to the guys at TT Cert or let's say TTPS, then to the cybercrime division, I'm sure if Anish reach out to you or Rick, they're going to ask you about email, and they will want to see, because that is a crime scene where a lot of the evidence and a lot of the residue from that event would be. So basically in an email header, you get a lot of information like where the email is coming from in terms of location, server. There's a lot of stuff in the metadata that you can use to literally solve
that crime. No, why still in 2026 email is still that number one vector, that number one spot for attack, your email?
All right, so human, as we always mention, is the weakest point in any cyber defense system. So that is one of the things that cyber attackers will usually manipulate, because they know that, for example, we in Carnival now, I can guarantee you, because based on the systems that we use, because we use a thing called Inky Pro, which protects email against these kind of situations. So one of the things I can tell you from over the carnival, I've seen our customers get thousands of phishing email related to carnival, a lot of promotion, a lot of stuff. Even yesterday I was reading an article online, and it was a guy from a company in the US, and he was saying that he sent out a phishing test, right? But the file that he added to the test was called January 2026 salary increase. And he said that everybody, including the cybersecurity team, actually clicked the link. So if money is involved, it motivates people to want to click, and then it may not be a legitimate link, and then, you know, you're putting the company at risk. So this is why email still remains at number one until this day.
You want to hear something? In my company, which is a music academy, I'm the manager, so I get emails from staff, and I also send email to staff. I got two emails saying it's coming from staff members, saying that they would like to update their banking information so they could change it to this number and whatnot. They're not using the old account anymore. Two emails coming from, and the names of the actual people are in the emails, But the address itself, I am too, I am so slow. I am quicker on the draw when it comes to seeing, and I just screenshotted it one time, delete, of course, but I would have showed the staff members, and they were so shocked that that could happen. So no matter if it's a small company, they are attacking anything. Small businesses, medium size, and large have to think about protection now going forward.
And the funny thing about it, you know, that you just mentioned, you're the executive for your organization. You realize there's a thing that they call whaling, where executives are targeted via email. So normally we would send like a mass email in an email campaign to everybody within the organization. But nowadays, we ain't wasting time sending so much. We do like spear phishing. We target one specific executive and send him a 1,000 email.
Right.
We have to keep at least one of the 1,000.
Jeez.
We do the same thing with other employees that is of a higher caliber. But what I can tell you is that the tool we use basically, what you call like set VIPs within the tool. So like our executives, we consider that as VIP per se. Right. So it's kind of hard for somebody to impersonate this person or basically send an email saying that it's this person. And because, you know, most of these tools these days have AI embedded in the tool. What the tool does is actually learn that these persons are within the organization. So if an email comes from Curtis, but it's not coming from Curtis at Freedom 106, it's going to tell you that it's a malicious sender or it's impersonation. So the tool will prevent against things like this. So this is why we tell people get email security, because as I said, it is still, regardless of the size of the organization, people are still getting attacked through emails.
Yeah. Now, I'm hearing some persons mentally saying, but I have an antivirus. I have a firewall up. That's how it works. So isn't my antivirus enough to stop the emails from coming in? Or is that something else? Or do I need another layer when it comes to emails?
So that's a tricky situation, you know. So with a firewall will block connections, ingoing and outgoing connections based on the rules you set,
right?
While an antivirus is looking for specific files and applications downloaded, right? Now, you can get an email crafted so well where you click on the link and nothing happened.
Right.
Now, in a lot of organizations, we have firewall systems that is built in with some level of AI, where a person would click the link and the firewall would automatically block it. But what they will do is send us a link to say, all right, this person try accessing this at this point. So based on the origin of that email, we may say, all right, it's probably just a one-off incident. But for me, I look at certain characters within that email, because if that email ends with a .ru or a .kr or anything to do with Korea, Russia, I ain't taking no chance, because I know that's where majority of the phishing malware, ransomware, that's where they come from. So certain things you would look for in that response that you would get from your system. But for email, I don't think firewall is enough, because let's say I send you an email. The firewall is not naturally built to protect email.
Email, right.
Right, and then here's the thing. The firewall sometimes is not meant to protect persons that is already on the system or internal user. So when I send an internal user an email, once they click the link, then they would have already have pre-approved access to certain things. So the firewall would not prevent that.
Yeah.
In some cases, you might have an antivirus, or we normally refer persons to use our EDR, which is an endpoint detection and response system, which would respond after you click that email. But in terms of antivirus and firewall, I don't see that as a solution for email security.
Wow. Now, when it comes to this whole email visibility thing, I think you should break that down for the average person. Like, what does that look like day to day? In terms of security operations, email visibility, we want to get a clear picture on what that is.
All right. So when we talk about email visibility, we talk about like getting insights into your mailing system, right? Because, you know, we have the DMARC, the DKIM, different security features within your mailing system, right? To operate at certain level. So we now will get a tool that can basically integrate with your emailing system, look at things at a deeper level. So basically an email coming to Curtis, what our tool does is basically analyze that email first, even before it reaches to Curtis' mailbox. Wow. And if it's anything malicious or anything involved, it just flag it, put it in a quarantine, and then allow the user to later check the quarantine to see if it was actually a valid email. So once it is valid, you can actually release that email, or you can also create rules now to block incoming emails or to allow incoming emails from that individual if it is malicious or if it is an actual email, that legitimate email that you were expecting. So as I said, it's actually getting insight into the back end of your emailing system and actually mitigating a lot of the nuances that come with emails. So you find out that typically usually get 2,000 or 3,000 emails on a daily basis. But now the tool is literally taking away 1,000 from that, because there's 1,000 malicious emails hitting your inbox every single day without you knowing.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what I actually thought about. I thought about, I said, wait a minute, every time I go into my email, my first thought is to scan through the whole bunch of noise that doesn't make any sense to me to find the thing that I'm actually looking for, or to see who emailed me that actually wanted to hear from. It has become so normal to just have a whole bunch of spam in your email that it's like if we don't mind, not knowing that these things are like ticking time bombs that we're stepping over, like a landmine that we're stepping over to try to get what we want.
But that's the thing, you know, the average user will see the spam and be like, oh, it's just spam. But for me, I try to delete it as fast as much as I can, because you can go into your spam box looking for something, because a legitimate email basically got carried away in spam.
Yeah.
And by opening these emails in spam, you accidentally click on the wrong email and boom, everything is gone. So,
wow, that is...
The reality of it is that we have to be very cautious. This is why, as I say, we recommend persons to get the necessary tools that will kind of mitigate these things, so the user will not have to interfere with anything that is potentially malicious, because we would regulate that on the back end.
No, I guess there are different types of emails that you could possibly get in your email box that would be compromised or an attack being hidden. So you just mentioned clicking links, so we should stay away from clicking links at all, like, and like there should be no link at all from coming from somebody that we don't know that we should be clicking, correct? We like to win things, right? You know, we always like to win something in this country. We always want to win.
But typically most of the organizations will, like banks, we know a lot of the banks that we work with will tell you that, hey, listen, we won't send you any links, because they are getting involved in cybersecurity awareness too. So it's their job to literally inform the customers that, hey, we will not send you any link via an email to this or to do that or whatever. But in terms of links is not the only issue. You know, links is just one off, because when you look at the back end of a security tool that we use for email, it'll tell you that they can block stuff like grayware. Grayware would be like somebody masquerading a promotional email, which it seems like it's coming from Freedom 106, but at the end of the day, when you click on that image that they send you, or that brochure that they send you, it automatically do a drive-in download that downloads something in the background and you didn't know. So you have Graymail, you have a lot of spyware that people will send you. You have what's the other one called, Keylogger, that basically logs all the keys that you type in. So from that, a person could get your username
and password.
There's a lot of stuff that can be delivered over the email, man. But
that's crazy. As I
said, we have tools that basically look for these things. And one of the things I always tell people is that because our tool is integrated with basically our whole security suite, we also have like dark web monitoring on the back end of that emailing system. So if there is a flagged email on the dark web that is known to be sending out malicious, the tool just block it one time. So we're kind of trying to do everything to help our users, so you know they don't have to deal with all of the technicalities that come with securing an email or an email gateway.
Yeah, and it's peace of mind you're looking for into, you know. And that's the whole thing. You don't want to use your brain power, especially as a CEO and whatnot, to be trying to make sure you don't step on the wrong thing in your email box. And to have the systems in place that blocks those things from even entering or coming to your phone as a notification, I could read something like that. Now, quick question, and I'm putting you on the spot for this one. Do you have any kind of real-world examples that of a breach that would have started, like, something small in an inbox? You ever get a phone call or a company?
Yeah. So, all right, so I'm going to show you, because, as I said, this is one of the most security, one of the most recorded security breaches known.
Right.
So there's a lot of cases I can tell you that started from an email. Because if you look at Target, if you look at Capital One, if you look at we have Google, we have Microsoft, all of them falling victim to. We have the Krillin Bank, there's a lot of companies that I can tell you about over the past. All right. We have customers also that have been in situation, maybe not to the extent of a breach, but a security incident, because we were able to contain that incident very rapidly. Because what persons will do is they'll send Curtis an email. Once Curtis is compromised, then basically they'll use Curtis email now to forward an email to everyone within the organization.
Right.
So you find Karen and all of the other DJs within the station get a malicious email to say that, well, it may not look malicious because it's coming from Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's a file that says, Curtis is saying, this is Marshall's, or this is, what's the other guy, Bungie. This is Bungie's new song.
Right.
We're in music. Everybody going to download the new song.
That's right.
Actually, not a new song. It's just that I compromised Curtis' account and used it to compromise the entire organization. So I've seen emails where internally that has been done, but, you know, take decisive action and...
Is that a real serious thing?
It's possible. It's very serious, man. And one of the things that these guys do, you know, they will go into your mailbox and create rules. So, for example, Curtis is in payroll, so anything that have to do with invoice, salary, or payroll is automatically forwarded to my email, because I am the hacker. But Curtis don't know, because Curtis ain't going in his mailbox to check if there is forwarding rules created.
Right.
Even while you regain access to your account, there is forwarding rules in the back end sending all of that data to the malicious user. So you're sending
all kind of people data, information,
payroll, banking information, somebody on the other end receiving all of that, and you may not know.
That's it. So even if they went and they secured it, my account could still be, my email inbox could still be sending very important
business email compromise, you know, because with a business email compromise, we just need one or two accounts.
Yeah.
And once we compromise them, we allow you to regain access back to those accounts, thinking that you have full access, but you don't.
That's craziness. Now, one of the things I think that allows us to jump, to make a move when we see something in an email is like the urgency that the email comes with. It comes with some form of an urgency or some kind of emotional, you know, thing that you need to do it now, or you need to make a move now, just simply click here now. I mentioned that because I saw an email from Elon Musk. Elon Musk. Why would Elon Musk be emailing me? Saw this email, and the email is saying that he just launched the third initiative after SpaceX and all of these things. And it's something to do with cryptocurrency. Now dropped something. And within the next hour, every person that starts an account, by clicking this link, he is personally depositing $5,000 into that account within this hour to promote this big thing. And of course, everybody know he have all the money in the world. So you have 1 hour now to click this link and fill it out. You know what I mean? It is crazy. The things that you can get.
You know, because the thing is, in an earlier interview, Karen and I would have spoken about social engineering. Now, social engineering is one of the tactics that you use to get person to crumble under pressure when it comes down to cybersecurity. So you will find out that you have persons basically sending an email with urgency.
Yeah.
You have emergency, urgency, intimidation. Because you have time where they send an email to say that this is the CEO sending you an email and you have 24 hours to process this transaction or whatever. And you know your job is on the line because if the CEO asks you for money and you don't do it. So by applying pressure to individual, at some of the times we're not really thinking about the body of the email or what is in the header, who it's coming from, because we see that, hey, it's from Elon Musk. We just try to rush and get it done. Hmm. But the good thing about it is we're kind of safe. You know, they kind of ban crypto in Trinidad. So let's stay away from that.
That is wild.
Yeah, we can't get catch in those kind of scams, especially if crypto is not really on our market.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Now, what could be the small business, medium-sized, large business do now, seeing that you realize, because anybody listening now would realize, wait a minute, I've been looking in the wrong place for the attacks to be coming, and I've been open to attacks coming straight to my email box. What is the next step? How can we get this thing addressed as soon as possible?
All right, so for small and medium enterprise, because as we established earlier, nobody is really safe and nobody is really given any exception. So my thing is, a lot of these organizations would have their preferred service provider. You also have 800 Tech that is offering a lot of these services, because one of the things we are promoting for this year is basically education. That's for the first quarter. So whoever you interview next from 800 Tech, they'll be pushing the agenda of educating. So our job is really just try and educate as much person as we can, because education would be the first step, because as we would have outlined, human being would be the first line of defense and the weakest line of defense. So reach out to your provider, reach out to somebody from 800 Tech, get an assessment done, because it sounds fun and it sounds like all the good stuff, but what if your organization don't really need that kind of protection?
Yeah.
Because it's not a one-size-fits-all, so we don't want to sell you something that you don't need.
Yeah.
So first we educate people, and then based on your knowledge now, you decide if it's something you want or if something that will work for your organization.
Yeah, that's really important. And where can we find more information for the listener now? Are we simply calling the 800 Tech, or are we reaching out? Where can we find on social media? Can we email? What is our next step?
All right, so to reach out to 800 Tech, we have our website, which is www.800-tech.com. We are on Facebook, 800 Tech, YouTube, we're on LinkedIn. Yeah, you can also call us at 223-8324, which is 223 Tech, if you basically invert the letters to numbers.
Nice. Now, is there anything that you want to mention that we might have missed that we want to make sure and touch on that is really important when it comes to this particular topic? Or we covered? Right,
so as I said, you know, the main objective is really to educate as much person as we can,
yeah,
and try to get them in the mind frame that, hey, cybersecurity is really everyone's problem. Because the thing is, a lot of person look at it and they be like, oh, it's just an IT problem, IT need to fix this. But
yeah,
really and truly, it's not an IT problem, it's a people problem.
Yeah.
It's a culture problem. So as soon as we change that culture and get our people in the mindset that, hey, we are not too small to be compromised, or get them in the mind frame that, hey, listen, we may actually need the professional help. So for me, I just want persons to be aware of the fact that these things are out there. 800 Tech, along with other agencies, are out here trying to help organizations to reach that level where we no longer have to sleep and worry if our organization is at risk, really.
Wow. I like what you said there. It is everybody's problem. It's not an IT problem. I remember working in the IT field a couple of years ago, and people would line up. And I'm talking about in a government ministry. It's IT. Call IT. Not knowing that they are the first line of response. And
yeah, we get some crazy calls every day, man. And sometimes the problem is just a user problem. But hey, that's what we're here for.
That's it.
Our job is really to serve our customers. So
yeah,
we
yeah,
offer man. Service. You need service, you call us, and we're there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So if you're listening now, you can reach out to 800 Tech to make sure that your company is sorted out. Or if it's to educate your staff, educate your teams about how they can be the first line of defense, of course, you can reach out to 800 Tech and reach out. And of course, today we spoke to Mr. Junior. Junior, thanks so much. He's a senior cybersecurity engineer at 800 Tech. And it's always a pleasure hearing from you. As you,
always a pleasure to be on the show. Always a pleasure to educate the public because, you know, as a lecturer, that is really my passion. So every chance I get, you know, I just come and try to deliver.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks again. Thank you so much. Have a good day, man.
All right, you too.
Yeah, man.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.